Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis for the last time this year, and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you?
Still not feeling Christmassy. You recommended Noel to me yesterday. You said,
I did.
Give that a watch. That's a new Christmas movie. That'll get you into the Christmas spirit. It was pretty bad.
What? Dude, it's so charming.
It's not charming.
Why not?
Just, I don't know, the script, that it's pretty much just Elf.
Yeah, I did say to you, it is basically Elf.
They just add stuff in, like no one says twinkle, right? There's this thing throughout the entire film where you can have the twinkle, and that's what Santa has. He can tell if a kid's naughty or nice. He can speak their language no matter what country they're from. Like, it's this innate ability to connect with children. And just all of a sudden, near the end of the movie, people start saying, you must have the twinkle. Like, why wasn't the twinkle talked about by name from the start?
It basically was, though. Like, it was right from the get-go that was very much established.
No, but it wasn't called The Twinkle.
Yeah, but you're now, like, focusing on, like, this one thing. But, like, that was very much established throughout the movie.
You're right. If you want me to be true, I thought the whole thing was crap. But to be specific, that's the thing I'm zeroing in on.
Dude, I'm surprised you didn't zero in on the baby reindeer thing, which was admittedly quite rubbish.
This was... Look, it's a... I think Disney, look at Disney Plus, like a slightly more upmarket version of their direct-to-video releases. So the CGI in that movie is 10, 15 years behind where I would expect it to be for a blockbuster.
Oh, it's quite poor. From by Disney standards, it's quite poor.
It's weird to see people of the caliber of Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader standing next to reindeers that look so shoddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who it's made for. I guess it's made for families.
If you'd have told me this was released in 2005, I would believe you. Mm. Like, and it was just like, it was stuck on a shelf in Disney's vault for 15 years. I would absolutely 100% believe you. But I thought it was very charming, and I very much enjoyed myself. I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd because I had a good old time with it.
Generous.
I watched The Happiest Season last night, which is the directorial debut, or at least film directorial debut of Claire DeVille. And I thought that was quite charming as well. It's not
Cruella DeVille.
Claire DeVille.
She's a character, Luke, from 102 Dalmatians and the prequel, 101 Dalmatians.
But it's not breaking any new boundaries, aside from the fact that it is a homosexual love story, a gay love story.
What?
But it's not like it is, it's, you know, it's a
lovely. Oh my God!
But it was very lovely. And the characters were all, I had quite a lot of laughs while watching it. So that'd be my recommendation. My next recommendation is Happiest Season.
Is it charming too?
It's very charming. Very charming. Mm. I think Christian Stewart is great in it. Really, really do. And I think Mackenzie Davis does a very good conflicting thing. Aubrey Plaza is great in it. Alison Brie's brilliant in it as well. Mary Steenburgen. Mary Steenburgen nearly steals the show. She's really, really good in it.
Charming.
Charming indeed. Right. Well, speaking of charming, we're going to do your League of Lockdown submissions. It'll be the last ones, possibly the last ones that we've got a buttload of them to get through. Anyway, let's talk about Raw. It shouldn't take long. Nothing happened. Here's the show. Okay, here's my bold prediction. The Fiend is just going to come back and it will be like a new vicious side of the Fiend, and the commentators will put over like, well, we've seen the Fiend be vicious before, but this is a whole different kind of vicious now. He's as vicious as Randy Orton ever was, but he'll just look exactly the same as the Fiend, and it will just be the Fiend again.
So it won't be like a new look or a new mask. Maybe a little fancy hat. You know, like Harley Quinn has the hat like sort of off to the side. Because that's what I think's happening.
Do you think the mask will be at a bit of a jaunty angle as well, to show sort of the off-kilter thing?
I think the mask will be the same, but he might have little fluffy cuffs on his jacket.
Yeah. I think that there may be like a new mask. Maybe he'll have like different contacts in. I think there'll be like they'll incorporate sort of the burns to it. I'd imagine kind of like Kane's mask and gear. But yeah, I think like really, it's not going to be a new character. It's just going to be maybe a different look for the Fiend, perhaps.
You're a horror movie aficionado. When horror movie villains get burned and dead, how do they typically come back in the sequels?
Well, I mean, I mentioned Jason in yesterday's review because it, like part 7, they do like the big burning scene, right? Like he just, you know, they set him on fire and he walks through the house and the house then just completely explodes. It's a wicked, wicked visual. But then like, they kill him in that one. Oh, they drown him in water. Like he just sort of like the dad gets brought back from the dead and he sort of like pulls him under the water and that's how they get rid of him. And then he's just back in 8 coming out of the water and looking a little bit slimy.
Well, that could happen. Well, what happened in the actual bit was Randy Orton comes down and he's like, yeah, I liked it. I liked burning this doll to a crisp. Because, of course, that's what happened at the end of TLC in their Inferno Firefly match. Meanwhile, the commentary team are just putting over how Randy went too far. And it was just sickening. And it did my head in. I don't know about you.
I mean, well, it was weird, wasn't it? And you know, when you said like horror movie characters, how do they come back from fire? I probably should have said Freddy Krueger. Like his whole story is that he was burnt. You know, like that was his whole thing, is that the townsfolk burnt him alive. And then he started haunting people within their dreams. Maybe that's what the Fiend will do. He'll start haunting people's dreams. He'll be like Freddy Krueger.
Oh, no, because that's what we need. Mirror reflections.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, because Randy did say in this promo that the voices have been silenced and all he can hear is the burning of the Fiend. So maybe the new voices that Randy hears, because he hears voices in his head, will be the Fiend. And we will get like Ultimate Warrior style, like reflections in the mirror and things like that. Maybe Randy Orton becomes the Fiend. That's it. He's the new Fiend.
That's what I was thinking as you said that. And look. We're coming up with this on the spot, but there is precedent for that because the whole feud with Bray and Randy before was the idea of Randy joining the Wyatt family. It was the Viper in the family storyline, one of the best bits of SmackDown in that era, one of the best storylines I'd argue until the payoff of the last 5 years. And yet that whole idea was Randy becoming a Wyatt, but it was all under a guise. He wasn't really. He was just in there to eventually turn on them. So yeah, maybe the true comeuppance is not for Orton to get beaten. It's for him to get infected by the Fiend virus.
Do you know what? All of this is very weird, and it felt weird watching this as well because the Fiend's the baby face in all of this. Like the monster in this, like. Freddie is the hero in this scenario that we're telling here, and it's so weird. And to go back to the question you asked me as well about sort of my thoughts on this segment, the commentary, like, it sort of makes no sense because they're like, oh man, I cannot believe that you set a man on fire. And I'm like, those were the rules. Like, that's the rules of the match. It'd be like, oh man, I cannot believe he hit him with a ladder in this ladder match. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's sort of, and they're not very good at doing like faked outrage anymore. Byron Saxton. Well, none of the WWE commentary team. They come across as completely artificial and non-organic. Even Samoa Joe, one of the best promos in the business right now, just wasted on commentary. I forget that is Samoa Joe. I know it's I know his voice, but he's just a different person. He's just a WWE commentator now. So I hope Samoa Joe comes back in the Rumble. Why haven't we talked about that? I've been doing all these rumors lists for next year. No one's saying Joe might come back. But so to carry on, Randy, the lights shut down. Randy Orton's like, oh, what's going to happen? The lights come back up. And in what was actually a really cool visual, I thought, there's a full-on play set, like a swing. There's a rocking horse there. And Alexa is just... Alexa, stop. Bliss is just sitting there on one of the swings. And yeah. Just being really cool, that sort of cool Sister Abigail style character that she's had.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Harley Quinn, but she's very, very much being sort of Harley Quinn-esque here. She's kind of telling jokes, being like, maybe he's down by the beach having barbecue. that sort of thing. You know, she's sort of laughing, giggling at her own terrible jokes about the Fiend being set on fire.
Oh, Mr. J.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's in, is it World's Finest, the animated one, when the Joker gets crushed in the building and like Batman is flying away with Harley Quinn underneath him and he goes, oh, Puddin. And Batman says, by now he probably is. I can't remember. It was an animated movie. But yeah, she kind of, you know, said that he's now, you know, he's in the canvas, he's in the ashes, he's in the ground. But if he does come back, when he comes back, it is going to be like something you've never seen before. It's going to be like a really terrifying version of the Fiend, which is why, you know, a lot of people think that we are going to get this a new character. Like Sean and Denise were talking about how poor old Bray is, like, he gets a character going and then WWE don't really know what to do with that character. So then he has to come up with a new character every 6 months. It's like, well, we don't know what to do. You're a backwards cult leader. Oh no, we don't know what to do. You're a wizard. We don't know what to do. You've got dreadlocks now. Oh no, we don't know what to do. You're part of a broken universe. Oh no, we don't know what to do. You're the Fiend. Like, and it's so poor old, he has to just keep coming up with various different things to do.
Yeah, and I guess you can also add Bliss, like, look at that Bliss Fiend act. I'm like, well, this is the next stage, right? I want a good 6 months of them together. But we haven't really had that. Even though that was the story, as you said on the TLC review, like the finish of the Inferno match. Well, first off, it shouldn't have been an Inferno match. It should have been something based around Bliss, how she's the weakness for the Fiend. That was the story they were telling. But in the end, Bliss is weirdly not involved in the slightest. And now she's just back to being this sort of herald of doom. She's the Silver Surfer for the Fiend's arrival. Who did I say that about recently? I can't remember. Was it Don Callis?
I think you said it was Don Callis. He was the Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah, because Kenny Omega was Thanos. But those are mixed Marvel references there. But yeah, I don't know where we go from here. I'm not particularly like excited. I guess that's the most important question. Are you intrigued?
No, but I think that's also because you and I, perhaps quite controversially so, I did actually see the amount of comments that you got on yesterday's video. Like, I don't know what they all said, but there was a lot of them. Like, it was, the comments were way higher than they normally are.
Well, it was a divisive subject. So there were a lot of people saying that I'm an idiot and they loved the Fiend Orton match. But there were just as many people saying, I hated the Fiend Orton match. How dare you? And then people would have break-off arguments.
Okay, well, I think that's interesting because we did think it was going to be quite divisive. And you and I sort of fell onto the side of like, I wasn't really that much into it. And I don't think this a new version of the Fiend is going to get me into this feud again either. And it's only because, like, you know, pun intended, I think they're sort of hot-shotting it at the moment. And I don't, it doesn't feel like, and like what sucks about that is that The Fiend always feels very thought out. Like everything that Fiend does feels like it's had a lot of time put into it. Like, you know, that months and months and months they were doing of like building up to his SummerSlam debut. And now we are just in sort of WWE's creative of hot-shotting things, and we don't really sort of know what we're doing one week to the next. So I don't know, to be honest. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not intrigued in the slightest. All that sort of intrigue I had. I thought Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt wrote itself. There's so much backstory there. And I think they did have a story, and it was about Bliss, but they've changed their minds.
Well, racing's got bad, so you had to do a fire thing.
Yeah, and they've really literally booked themselves into the ground, where I don't think they've thought about the next step. And yeah. I think whatever, yeah, I'm not excited because I've been disappointed too many times by this company and unfortunately by their treatment of Bray Wyatt.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the immorons.
Let's see what you think. WrestleTalk.com/support to get in your Ultra Chats. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Rinnie says, hey guys, how's it going? How do you think The Fiend should return and how should he look like? Because he should definitely not look like regular Fiend. Maybe his mask is kind of brown? rips in his clothing and limps in a you didn't kill me fashion.
I think like what Rini is saying there, like I do think you need to have a different look. If you're saying that like he's going to come back worse than before, he needs to have something that's new about like the look of the character. Because if you just bring back the Fiend as currently is, that will feel like a letdown.
So when Bliss teased that the Fiend is coming back, she also said he's gone into, you know, absorbed into the canvas, deep into the ground, back home. And I took that to mean hell, you know, what's deep down beneath our feet. So maybe he comes back with a...
Australia?
Yeah, or maybe he comes back with a naughty little tail. You know, like the little red tail with the point at the end. It's just like a naughty... Yeah. Because the Fiend doesn't have a tail right now.
And so your big creative thing, are you part of Raw Creative now? It's just like, he's got a new tail.
Maybe I submit some ideas every now and again. Benjamin, can't wait for Wyatt to come out of his cocoon and debut the Butterfly Funhouse. That's a good pun.
Genuinely, Benjamin, that's pretty good, the Butterfly Funhouse.
Could this be an attempt at a proper face turn without the spookums? Merry Christmas to you all. Jam that jingle.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Benjamin. They're always going to be magics because Vince bloody loves the fantastique. He loves magical elements about characters that don't need magical elements to them. And no matter what they do with him, even if he is like a full-on babyface, which, you know, he is at the moment because they're like putting over Randy. It's like, oh my God, he set a man on fire in a match where you're supposed to set a man on fire. But yeah, I think that he will still be a magical character. Bliss is a magical character. She just appeared in the ring with a swing set and like all like a load of other stuff. So they're magical beings.
Yeah. Chris Wagstaff, I like this idea. Following TLC, I can't wait for the debut of Darth Brader.
Oh, come back like full on. Just like, no.
What would the Butterfly Funhouse look like?
Probably the same, but there'll be butterflies instead of fireflies there.
He could have the butterfly wings.
So you do you want to... okay, so in your version, are we removing the tail and replacing it with wings?
No, I think you want to keep the tail. I'm sold on the tail now. But he comes down from the ceiling with the little... butterfly.
From above.
Kevin! OMG, it all makes sense. Fiend will appear in the mirror in front of Hogan at Legends Night. Which will play into that one time, payoff on that one time when Hogan and Bray tease the confrontation. Hashtag long-term booking. When was that?
I honestly don't remember. But actually, do you know what? I was looking into Inferno matches, and I think the last Inferno match they had in WWE was Bray Wyatt's, and it was against Kane.
Kane, yeah. That was easy.
I was like,
was that his debut match?
People were like, there was a, I have no like recollection of that whatsoever.
And finally, for now, MJ VDG, Bliss just sounds like cartoon Scarlet Bordeaux now.
Yeah, because I mean, Scarlet Bordeaux's whole thing is, you know, he is coming, you know, TikTok and all that. So yeah, maybe that is what we're going from. That's what we're going with now. She is cartoon Scarlet Bordeaux.
And because Scarlet Bordeaux was so realistic in the first place, I love Scarlet Bordeaux. And carrying across his act.
I loved it as well, but I perhaps this is a controversial stance. I thought her lip singing along with the video was goofy as all get.
No. I love it. I genuinely, unabashedly love their entrance. Right. So yeah, please do wrestletalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra chats. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. And go over to Phenomenards. We are almost 700 subscribers away from 40,000. Get into board games. If everyone on this stream went over now and subscribed, we'd do it.
Hey, Ollie, I've got a question for you.
Do you like board games?
Because yes. If you do, I would head on over to Phenomenos' board game channel and subscribe.
Two things, if you've not seen the content before and you'll think, I don't want to give it a chance. Check out Adam's sketch from the weekend. It's very funny. A board game sketch about playing games with your family at Christmas and also his top 10 favorite board games of all time. Maybe you can pick up an expensive new hobby that you didn't have before.
Well, that's it is helpful. An expensive hobby, isn't it? But I love it. I love it so.
Right, so this episode of WWE Raw, it was the post-TLC episode, a pay-per-view that many people were very pleasantly surprised by because it was very good overall, very good and newsworthy. We got Charlotte Flair returning, and we got Miz cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase, so that's written out, and we got The Fiend being burned to a crisp on the Raw side of things. And a tag title change. So a lot of intrigue to see this sort of new season, as it were, this pre-2021 interlude of Raw. And I would argue they didn't deliver on any of that intrigue. It felt like a boring episode when they've phoned in and they're probably just going to do all this big idea changing stuff at the start of the new year.
So, I mean, WWE themselves were in a bit of a quandary, really, because this show is likely not going to do a good number because we're in holiday mode at the moment. So they tend not to do great numbers around the holiday season because people aren't really watching TV. They're spending time with their families. Well, I mean, not anymore. Not in 2020. We're all being told to stay at home now. So they don't want to do anything too big, because you don't want to do anything too big when not a lot of people are going to be tuning in. But at the same time, you got so much interest from TLC and setting a man on fire that you may actually get a lot of new eyes watching the show this week. So what they opted to do was sort of nothing, but pretend it was something. So we sort of like pretended like we were starting new things. Like you got the whole Charlotte Flair stuff. You've got Angel Garza making his return. You've got Jackson Ryker having a match. You're continuing the stuff with Retribution and Ricochet and Sheamus and Keith Lee. But almost all of that, nothing happened. Like really the only storyline beat that progressed here is that Miz was likely going to get back his Money in the Bank briefcase. Which someone said on yesterday's show, didn't they? Someone said that on yesterday's show. I bet you Miz gets it back.
I guess Keith Lee and Sheamus finally got physical.
Yeah, maybe in a way. But they did that like in the lead up to Survivor Series. So it's not that new.
Well, let's go through the episode from top to bottom to unpack this all. The first thing, of course, it was Charlotte Flair comes out for a promo and Asuka, but mostly Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair was proper like Ivory in the lead up to the China feud. My friend China. Mm-hmm. Like she was proper like my friend Asuka with all of this. Like she said, my friend Asuka, or my best friend Asuka, the person like she is setting herself up to turn on Asuka very, very soon.
Am I being worked then? Like, because that's good storytelling, I guess. If Charlotte is genuinely playing someone who's overly friendly with Asuka, and it's just a way to eventually turn on her and get the Raw Women's Championship shot. I don't think WWE are going to make Charlotte a heel.
No. And also, if Charlotte watched TV, Asuka was having... like Asuka gave Lana a title shot, and she gave like Zelina Vega a title shot, so she probably could have just asked and would have got one. She didn't need to go through the rigmarole of pretending to be a friend.
No, I find Charlotte's baby... Charlotte is a problematic screen presence anyway, because I think a lot of people, me included, feel like she's overpushed at the expense of everyone else on the roster. It's not that she isn't talented, she is, but she is just... she gets too much, and it's frustrating as a fan to see her get everything. It's like, you know, it's the exact same thing why we didn't used to like Roman Reigns. The other thing is that she's been... like, while that's happening, WWE are saying, cheer for her. Isn't she great? Rather than leaning into the natural inclination against her, which would be to make her a heel. So I'm finding it it's very frustrating to sit through her segments.
And like Randy Orton is a great example of a character, of a wrestler who is just better off as a heel. Like Randy Orton is just like, he is a good babyface and all that, but he's a much better heel. And I think Charlotte Flair, she's an incredible talent, she's an incredible wrestler. I think she is a decent promo and she's an incredible presence, but she's so much more suited to being a heel than she is a babyface. But WWE do want to keep putting this square peg into a round hole.
They were interrupted by Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, of course, the former tag champs, and then Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke came out. I thought they looked very oily.
Did they?
Yeah. Like, you know, they've got the bodybuilders shtick. It looked like they just covered themselves in baby oil before they came out. They look significantly more slippery than everyone else in the ring.
I mean, it didn't help them in the match. They're still lost. Like, you know, Shayna Baszler managed to slip through them and get in the Kira Funa clutch.
Yeah, maybe Dana Brooke needed a bit more oil. Just reverse out. You're not going to catch me. But, yep, they had a match afterwards. I thought Brooke looked pretty good in it. She hit a swanton and she was tapped out by Baszler. Yeah. Charlotte was on commentary the entire time as well. And so unlikable. She's so unlikable as a character.
Yeah, it's I didn't enjoy much of it. And also, like, remember how just last week we were building towards Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus Nia and Shayna for the tag titles? And now they don't have the tag titles anymore. So I guess I don't know what we're doing anymore. But, you know, there seems to be a fair number of women's teams on Raw. I don't know who they're going to defend against on SmackDown. I'm going to guess the Riot Squad.
So Dana and Mandy actually stood tall here. They tip Nia and Shayna over the top rope, which to me feels like a Royal Rumble setup thing.
Yeah, yeah. You want to do that a bit closer to the Rumble. It actually just felt like it just made them look like sore losers. Mm. It made me not like them after the match, but like, guys, you lost fair and square, no less. And then it'd be like, well, you will get out my ring anyway. Grow up.
Well, you've mentioned that Charlotte and Asuka are going to be on SmackDown because, of course, they are. The Omni Flare is back. In force. You never got Shayna and Nia going over the SmackDown that much. They're like, COVID restrictions out the window. Charlotte's back.
Put her on every show.
Hell of a show, though, that they booked for SmackDown on Christmas Day. A cage match between Reigns and Owens.
Yeah,
you've got Charlotte on there.
Yeah, we reckon the Big E's going to win the IC title.
Yeah, so they've stacked that up. Not the same stuff for Raw or next week's Raw, but the Raw after that. Oh my, it was announced now. It's Legends Night.
Yes, because of course, we said this as soon as ratings were down. We were like, well, the first thing they'll do is bring back all the Legends. But it is two diminishing returns, isn't it? Because they do these Legends Nights so often now that they don't have the impact they used to because it's always the same name. The majority of the names they announced for this were lads that we saw just 2 months ago, like last month, in fact, to say goodbye to The Undertaker. So, like, it's not going to be that impressive for me to see all of these lads come out again.
Okay, so I've got a full list here. I'll go through them. But it's an alphabetical order. Alicia Fox.
I'm not going to say anything because the Alicia Fox fans get really super mad when you don't say that Alicia Fox is a WWE legend.
I'll take the hit, mate. She's not a WWE legend. It devalues the name. Beth Phoenix. Okay, but she's on NXT a lot. Big Show. Literally seen him a lot this year. He main evented WrestleMania. The Boogeyman. Okay. Haven't seen him for a while. Booker T. He's on all the pre-shows. Candice Michelle. Haven't seen her, but I wouldn't argue that I would tune in. Carlito.
Carlito is the one that is really surprising, but actually Candice Michelle's a really surprised one because, like, who cares? Who cares that Candice Michelle's coming back?
I think they've literally asked everyone on their Rolodex that Vince definitely still has a Rolodex. That's his business desk.
It's a pile of facts.
But Carlito, I wouldn't say he's a WWE legend. Yeah, he's an alumni.
He was. He was once there. But same with Boogeyman. Like, Boogeyman's not a legend. He was just once there for a bit.
But Boogeyman's, you know, he's brought out so much that he feels like legend territory, just the way WWE have pushed him for the last 20 years. Carlito, they don't reference ever.
No, it's because they don't like him much.
Hillbilly Jim. Hulk Hogan is a big name, but I would argue I'm not impressed, but he could shift ratings, I think. IRS, glad to see that he is doing well. He had a health scare, but of course the father of Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas. Ivory, have we seen her recently?
Can't remember the last time we saw Ivory, but like Ivory's a legend in my eyes, but I don't think she is a WWE legend. She's again was someone she was a women's wrestler who was in the wrong time, really. She'd have been amazing if she could have been around now.
Jacqueline, Jeff Jarrett, who's on the pre-shows, Jimmy Hart, of course, because Hulk Hogan's there. Kurt Angle, you know, that's cool, but we saw him on SmackDown just 6 months ago to introduce Matt Riddle, and WWE killed his presence dead. over the last 3 years. Mark Henry, we see him all the time. Melina's an interesting one. She was rumoured to come back anyway this year, reportedly signed at one point. But yeah, not sure what she's going to do. Michael Hayes, he's backstage all the time. He's just hanging around. Nikki James, she's on the bloody roster.
she had a title match not 2 weeks ago.
Ric Flair, he's there all the time. We've already seen him this week.
He was there on Sunday.
Sergeant Slaughter, Tatanka, and Tori Wilson, which is actually fair. I'm going to tune in for Tori Wilson.
Yeah, Tori Wilson. There's a lot of those names, which is like one of these things is not like the other in terms of like a Legends night. But, you know, it's the Legends that are available night.
Legends, asterisk, who we could get on Cameo. So yeah, let's see what happens. I don't think it will do much at all.
We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what will happen. Hogan will come out. He'll do a promo. They'll do a segment backstage where someone gets scared by the boogeyman. Tori Wilson will, I don't know, they'll just have, actually, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll just have them all come out on stage, clap, and that'll be it. And that's what we'll get. And it'll be a quarter hour segment.
That'll be worth it. Literally endangering all these old people's lives. That's what they say during a pandemic, isn't it? Herd all the old people together. Make them travel. Go to a hot spot of cases and do work.
But Ollie, you know who's wrong? Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is wrong because he shouted at some people. He's someone to make fun of.
Hey, they were reading a script. They couldn't possibly have their own scripts. Right, so that was announced. It is what it is. Hurt Business came out, did a VIP lounge segment. They gloated about the titles they've won. And R-Truth did a little 24/7 title bit. Everyone chased after him. And then Matt Riddle and Jeff Hardy attempted some comedy, saying there's more to life than business.
Yeah, it's weed and God.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually quite enjoying the VIP lounge until Truth showed up and all of his geeks running after him, which I actually think sort of ruined the segment a little bit for me, because I thought, man, these dudes look awesome. I thought Cedric cut a really good promo.
Yeah.
I think like the way that Lashley was looking at him during that promo, like I can't find the words to describe like the looks that they give him, but it's so good. And then there's Truth there, and all of a sudden, like a bunch of nerds run out after him. And it's like, oh, well now, now I don't care. And then, yeah, and then the Hardy Bros come out for to cut a promo. And bloody hell, Matt Riddle is struggling to cut the promos that they're writing for him. Like, it's not his style, but he's like tripping over words. He's not saying them in like a human way because he's trying to remember all the stupid verbiage that they're giving him. And it's not, I don't think it's working for him.
Yeah, the gag is Matt Riddle starts talking about how there's more, you just need to chill out, man. You just need to hang back. Separate your ego from your consciousness and zoom out to an existential level and realize that we're just a little bit of stardust floating in space. And, you know, that sort of stereotypical stoner shtick. But it's like, that's, it's a joke that works, but it's not like exactly like you said, it doesn't mean you should give it to people if that isn't their character.
And it also feels as well that oftentimes WWE writers will write a promo, don't think it's flowery enough for Vince to like, so they just shift F7 every other word and see, like, you know, bring up the thesaurus and see if they can find a different word that they can put in there instead.
Shift F7, Brock Lesnar's rejected finish. Angel Garza's back.
Yeah. Why wasn't this promo with Charlie Caruso? Why was this promo with not Renee?
Oh, what was the name of the woman that was held hostage?
Oh yeah,
the performance center,
like from like Survivor or something, like The Bachelor or something. Or
is
other. What was her name?
I've been in a voice. It's the voice that talks to me in Quizlemania. Is it Demi Burnett? Was that her name?
Mate, that
sounds right.
Someone said it's confirmed. Demi Burnett. Someone said it in the chat.
Hmm. Yes, I'll have to look at her Instagram. Now I've Googled her. I'll just have that up in the corner.
Not Demi Lovato.
Yeah, so Angel Garza is back. Oh, God. He sort of debuted at the start of this year, and we were all very excited by him. He just oozed charisma. And he came back here after a couple of months out, faced Drew Gulak. Match went 2 minutes. Garza won. But every single thing that made him special, all those little flourishes, the little movements, the camera, the eye contact, it just, it's gone.
Yeah, doesn't feel quite, yeah, it doesn't feel particularly special anymore. He's just sort of, he's just a lad on the roster, which is a real shame because you had something really awesome in Angel Garza. But it just, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he came out, poor old Drew Gulak, like February of this year, he had an awesome match with Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan was like bending over backwards to try and get like Drew Gulak over as this guy, had an IC title shot and everything. And it really felt like he was onto something. And then they were like, no, you're the PowerPoint guy. Be a comedy lad. You're now a jobber again. Yeah. And, oh man, it sucks.
Wait a sec. Kevin has just said Angel Garza was the Cruiserweight champion this year in NXT.
Was he?
I would have. It's been a long year. All right, so after that, we got a Miz TV segment. The guest was AJ Styles, and Miz kind of wanted to apologize to AJ Styles for cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase at TLC. And Miz, I thought he cut a hell of a promo. Really emotional.
This is the problem I've always had with WWE's portrayal of The Miz. Because The Miz can get, like, he gets super serious when he does these sort of promos. But he, like, every couple of months he'll do these promos. And you're like, oh, it's a more new serious side of The Miz. And then he's like, and now you're in the Marine 7. And he's like, oh, no, so you are just a wacky character and it's impossible to take you seriously. But if you actually, if you focused on letting him do these promos, you might actually build him up as a serious contender again.
Yeah, accentuate the sort of positives. He's a phenomenal actor, but by wrestling standards, I'm not saying he should like be the next Daniel Day-Lewis, but he's got something there. I was very impressed. But yeah, it was all ultimately for comedy. And then the baby faces of Keith Lee, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre surrounded the ring Shield style, did a rubbish version of last week's Nightmare Before Christmas poem. It was like Nightmare After Christmas. And then they all brawled, and Keith Lee very obviously was accidentally knocked into Sheamus.
This made Sheamus look like such a tit, because like AJ quite clearly like drop kicks Keith into Sheamus. And Sheamus like, what are you doing, Keith? And it's like, just watch the tape back. Like it's not hard. And also it was quite obvious that it's like he accidentally fell into you. But it should be Sheamus, like the keeper's always such a hothead. I thought that was AJ's gimmick, but he's such a hothead. And it's, it makes him look like an absolute doofus.
Yeah. So that's the setup, the match later on, which was the main event. We got T-Bar versus Ricochet. T-Bar won in a couple of minutes. So talking of Garza being the Cruiserweight champion this year, Ricochet fought for the WWE Championship against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, for 88 seconds. It's a nice round number. Yeah. I mean, look at it. We just had on Raw, Donovan Dijak versus Ricochet. In PWG, would have torn the house down. Here, it's 2 minutes, and one of them's got a terrible name and a shit mask. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear then.
Naughty Luke.
I know. I've got to edit that now.
Then, yeah, Retribution seemed a bit more coherent this week. There was no kicking Mia Yim out stuff. Yeah, whatever. It's repetitive. Kofi and Xavier.
It's going to keep going as well, because they keep saying that like this only ends when Ricochet joins Retribution. So he's got to join, or they're just going to keep doing this bloody feud.
Well, they need a tag team, so maybe Ricochet gets some backup.
It's four members in the group. Like, what do they mean they need a tag team?
He beat them all with Dana Brooke by his side. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods did a nice little promo backstage. I think it was filmed the previous day. They talked about how they'll bounce back, get the tag titles back. Kofi knocked out a bunch of teeth, apparently.
I know. Oh. Did you see the picture?
No, I haven't. No, I just read about it.
He posted like a picture on like a Twitter or something. But yeah, like of the teeth. He basically just went backstage and spat out a load of teeth.
Do you ever get those dreams where that happens?
Oh, yeah.
Well, your teeth just fall out of your mouth. We got the match that was set up earlier in the VIP segment, which was Lashley and MVP versus Riddle and Hardy. Given like the matches that have happened in this storyline recently, I had higher hopes. It was actually quite a short affair. Lashley made Hardy tap.
Yeah, again, which, you know, we've seen a fair number of times now. Hardy took a wicked, like, I want to say wicked, awful spill during this. Like, they pushed him off the top rope, and he just collided with, like, the ring steps and stuff on the outside. It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff does just like to take moves real, like, actually take them sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Nah, I'm just gonna hit my head.
And I feel like it was in that spot as well. Shelton just looks at MVP and just goes, he never learns.
But yet that sort of was sort of building towards Lashley Riddle, surely. But this wasn't, this story's had good chapters in recently. This was just a nothing installment. Jackson Ryker squashed a member of the Lucha House Party. I believe it was Kalisto.
No, it was Kalisto's not.
It was Grand Metal League. Kalisto's out.
It was Grand Metal League. Elias took this, so like, this match was so serious that Elias played a song during it. Hmm. And yeah, Jackson Ryker won. Cool.
Then we had the Randy Orton segment that we've already spoken about. Then we got another Charlotte Flair appearance because Charlotte and Asuka took on Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans. Royce and Evans were thrown together at the start of the draft after Billy Kay was split up from Royce. I thought they'd decided they were on the same page, but they weren't again here. They bickered. Again, the match was entirely designed around Flair. She got the hot tag. She beat everyone. She made Peyton tap in the figure eight.
Asuka is so rubbish, she can't even beat up people who are arguing with each other. Like, Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans were essentially costing themselves this match, and Asuka still couldn't beat them. She had to tag in Charlotte Flair to get the win. Honestly, if you didn't know, if you'd only been watching the last couple of weeks, you'd have no idea that she's the Raw Women's Champion. Someone actually put up, I think it was Tempest, put up a stat recently. In like the last 2 months, she has had 3 minutes of like in-ring title defenses. 3 minutes in 2 months. Like, that's astoundingly terrible.
But, you know, Zelina Vega and Lana, who I believe those matches were against, she should be putting them away pretty quickly. But you're totally right that they used Asuka as a means to an end here. It was purely just to set up Charlotte's hot tag. Actually, because, you know, in the kayfabe terms of Asuka being the champion, how she was presented through the summer, she should tear through Evans and Royce all by herself.
But yes, and also, dude, like, Gordon Ramsay noticed Peyton Royce, so she's now like a media star or something. So they tapped her out, of course. Mm. But yeah, they said, like, Gordon Ramsay did a TikTok with Peyton Royce. And I think what it was is that Gordon Ramsay is just doing TikToks of him watching terrible cooks being like, that's terrible, as opposed to Gordon Ramsay getting in contact with people and being like, do you want to do a TikTok together? I don't know how TikTok works.
Yeah, I think it's Karrion Kross's thing. Don't you mime? I thought that was the whole thing. You mime along to music, like Scarlett. And the main event was Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Keith Lee versus AJ Styles, Miz and Morrison in a festive street fight six-man tag, or, as I like to call it, a normal six-man tag.
Yeah, this was such a street fight that they did legal tags in and they obeyed the rules of tagging.
Where was the denim?
Well, like, just make it, just have all six lads beat each other up. Like, why did you have to do a legal tag match when it was a street fight? Like, the whole point of this was to put AJ Styles through eggnog. And that was hilarious. When they put it through the eggnog, it was really funny because it went up in the air. You put Miz through a table and cookies fly everywhere. It's great. But the problem is you had 10 minutes before of that, of them tagging in and out and their heels working over a baby face. Like, what was this?
The WWE are actually very good at doing these sort of fun comedy festive matches. There's been like was the Halloween match with Gallows and Anderson? Cesaro one.
Oh, they're so good at it.
Yeah.
So good at it. But like I don't know, man. It was so infuriating with them just standing there doing tags when they could have just had fun spots all round.
Yeah, it was. And I thought AJ, Miz and Morrison looked rubbish as well. Like AJ Styles was just of Miz and Morrison's level of just being easily beaten up by these three guys. Sure, Sheamus and Keith Lee looked great and McIntyre looked great, but it shouldn't come at the expense of someone like Styles. And they were telling the story that Drew was working well with Sheamus, he'd work well with Lee, but Lee and Sheamus weren't working well together. And at the end, Keith Lee tags himself in. He wins with the spirit bomb. Sheamus is annoyed. Bro kicks Keith Lee. Boom. And then it like ends like that.
Yeah. I actually quite like that story, though. I thought the three of those told that really nicely throughout. But yeah, and then the end of it felt very rushed because they were like, oh my God, there's only 10 seconds left of the show. Quickly kick him.
Do you think, I mean, it felt to me like if anyone's turning there, it is Keith Lee. Keith is definitely carrying himself as a more grumpy persona.
Yeah, well, we speculated that on last week's show that we think that Keith Lee could be the one to turn heel because, you know, they tried him as a babyface for a hot minute and it didn't work. So that's the next thing to do.
Well, that was the whole show. That was the end of it there. I gave it 2 out of 4. I give it 2 out of 5 as well. Wasn't like nothing terrible happened on the show, so I can't give it the lowest rating. But it was just nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. I'd have also given it 2 out of 5. I thought it was a bit of a boring show. And yeah, people seem to like it's kind of a mix between good and poor, actually. You know, 35.7% voted for poor over on Twitter, but 33.8%, which is, you know, roughly the same number, thought it was a good show. So we are still on that, you know, Twitter just loves calling things a good show, even if it's not.
Well, I think it's because average doesn't exist in the 4-tier rated system. So average and good are lumped together.
But that means you've then got to make a choice. Because if you're like, well, I want to vote for average, but I haven't got average, then you've got to make a choice if it's good or if it's bad. And what people chose was like, do you know what, actually, it was a good show overall.
Well, that one did win poor. And if you'd see the bore, the lowest rating was terrible, was pretty high, much higher than usual. Like that is the most negative leaning rating we've had so far. And poor won outright. When everything's been good since we started doing these Twitter ones. So I think that is indicative of it being a bad show and people were disappointed after TLC. Give a man some help. Randy Andy Datson is here.
I am. I'm not outside, so I've decided to put a poster I have behind my head to make it look like I'm outside. It is just.
I thought you were outside.
It's so convincing.
Is that not?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Look, God. Watch this.
No. Oh my God, you're in Middle Earth.
I know. In Everdell, or whatever it is. I've never seen the film.
Rivendell. I am not. No, I have just. About 20 minutes ago, finished the Andy 500. I've crossed over 500 kilometers. My knees are weak. My arms are heavy. Mum's spaghetti. Everything hurts, but it was very much worth it. It's just too dark outside, so I thought I'd better run inside. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see anything. So just a thank you to everyone who has supported. We've raised almost £1,300, which is fantastic. That's going to do a lot of help. That will, I believe, fund an entire orphanage for an entire year. So that is wonderful stuff. Yeah, money goes a long way in different places, Ollie. I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Orphanages are cheap.
Exactly.
Maybe I should get some orphanages.
We should buy some.
And then we can make the kids write articles, Andy.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I'll, now that I've done this, I'll message them and see what they've done. But yeah,
it's 2021's big plan.
I have now also shaved, as you can notice. I have finished that, so I will have Christmas to rest my weary bones. But if you do still have a couple of pennies lying around, then justgiving.com/fundraising/Andy-500. Maybe Jenna or someone could put that in the chat, or just head over to my Twitter at Andy Datson WT and it will be there. But that's pretty much all from me. I don't think I'll see anyone before Christmas. So everyone in the watching, have a lovely Christmas and have a lovely new year. I will see you probably on the SmackDown review on the 2nd of January. Have a lovely Christmas, everyone. Enjoy stuff. And I will see you soon.
Pretend to be 2020 and I'm going to be 2021.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm going to make everyone ill and everyone's sad.
There, oh, you see, I punched him. Oh, 2021's here. Yeah, so well done, Andy, there. That's some good stuff. And also, yeah, slave labor.
Yeah. Can I quickly plug something before we get into the Ultra Chat?
Why not?
On Matthew of Botchamania's Twitch channel tonight, I'm going to be on it.
What?
I know, yeah, I'm going to be on with Matthew of Botchamania. We're going to watch the 1996 Games Master Christmas special. It's the one with the Dave Perry incident. So I'm going to watch that.
So Dave, they
basically set up, Dave Perry calls himself the games animal, like he's the greatest video games player of all time, right? So they have this tournament between all the journalists to, like, you know, to see who is the best player. And they made him play Super Mario 64, which he's not played, but they've all played a lot because it's not out in the UK yet. And he completely asses it up. And it was just a way to sort of like bully him and make fun of him a little bit. Really. it's become known as the Dave Perry incident.
Very good. Well, yeah, go over to Matthew to see that later. I'll be watching Elf. Before we get into the Ultra Chats, though, let's say a big thank you to the people who donate to us, which is far, far more commendable than donating to charity. It's our wonderful Pledge Hammers on Patreon. You should become a Patreon too, because you get loads of exclusive content. Me and Luke just did a full 3-hour review of Armageddon Vengeance, 2001, this week, which was a lot of fun. So go and listen to that. But thank you to our $25 a month or more. I'm Batty Man, Nathan Batty.
Nice, very nice. Cheap pops for them. Get the cheap pops going up in the chat. Jordan Williams, aka Ollie's intern.
Woohoo. Make me a tea then. Pledge Hammer Power, hero in the half shell.
Lovely stuff. Carve him up, Peter Hamley.
Scary. Colin McCleaner, than Finn Balor.
He's lean. He is lean. I'll have an order of Marriott Whitlow.
Woo!
So maybe.
The Snapdragon King, Ryo Adonde.
Nice. Very good. Luke's favorite director, Christopher Nolan. Well, that's how Chris Nolan's a fan.
The Pym Particle, Terry Hankamer.
Nice. I like that one. The leader of the 314 crew, Elijah Zinselmeyer.
Thank you, Elijah. The $100 man, CD Horver.
Never hear from him. The Dijon Mustard.
Woo. And finally, Jim Possible Prendergast. Thank you.
Very nice.
Let's do these last remaining Ultra Chats. Remember, get yours in. Last call for them at wrestletalk.com/support. We've got quite a few, actually, so let's crack on. Keith Kutach. Hey, fellas, jam that jam. I'm not hyped for Wyatt's return, honestly, at all. I totally agree with Luke. They don't know what to do with him. It's sad that they have a huge wave of momentum behind him and then derail for some reason. Super sad. Hashtag failed fiend.
Yeah, I mean, I think WWE he got over so hot at SummerSlam. They were like, wow, I mean, he's the hottest thing we've got. We better put him in a title program. Uh-oh, well, we don't want to beat him. Uh-oh, we don't want to put the title on him. Uh-oh, better do that Hell in a Cell finish, I guess.
Ridge, I've seen this suggested. The Fiend comes back bald with a burnt mask.
Oh, no, but the dreads are so cool.
Would be dramatic, though. Never seen bald Bray. Benjamin, Ollie and I are on the same page about Butterfly Funhouse Wyatt. I'm picturing him as Carol Kane in Scrooged, just beating up Bill Murray. I'd say the spook and magic gets replaced with nice, happy magic, but of course, still a little sinister. Book it, Vince.
Yeah. Nice shout out to Scrooge there.
With a little devilly tail as well. Matthew Robinson, I love the Alexa... That was close. Playground segment. The thought of the Fiend coming back better and darker is a cool thought. What do you guys think? Maybe a good way to reboot the Fiend.
Well, that's it. Now, people are talking about rebooting the Fiend, literally, you know, what, 18 months after he debuted? God, that's so sad.
Yeah. A better, darker version of the Fiend. How do you get darker?
Yeah, a better, darker version than the man who, like, went literally inside the mind of John Cena, which is like, you know, a systematic dissection of a character.
James Hanley. Randy Orton not only will become the Fiend, he will align himself with the returning fake Razor and fake Diesel during the Royal Rumble. All the while, Husky Harris will ascend from the heavens in this hour of need. Help us, Husky. You're our only hope.
Oof. Yeah, maybe.
Kimchi Cowboy, do you think WWE painted themselves into the corner, burning the Fiend character-wise? Greetings from Kyrgyzstan.
Probably yes, because they didn't really know what they were going to do after us. They just wanted, us to burn someone.
Apparently, the SWAF Nation wants to know if there's an AEW stream this week. Yes. I'm not going to be on it, though. I'm doing tomorrow's news, and then I'm actually off for 10 days.
Oh, mate, I'm so happy for you. But yeah, like actually taking some time off this year, which is very unlike you. Yeah. So, you know, I hope you have a nice rest and everything. But yeah, it'll be me and Pete, Chopper Pete, doing the AEW review this coming Thursday. And there will be Raw and AEW reviews next week as well. It's going to be Pete and Laurie doing Raw, I think, and then me and Pete doing AEW. So yeah, so you'll still get all your regular reviews.
No days off. Overall, Matthew Robinson, I think that Miz should have told AJ that Drew was about to win and get up the ladder. He was going to win.
I think that Miz should have told AJ that Drew was. Oh, right. Okay.
So Miz cashed in to stop Drew winning rather than making it against. Yeah, that's a good motivation. Matthew Robinson again. Tonight's speech from Miz was his love letter to WWE to let Vince know he will never leave for AEW.
I mean, Miz is. I was going to say, well, also, Miz is never going anywhere. He's a WWE guy for life.
If he goes anywhere, it's to be more of a reality star. Mm-hmm. It won't be to another wrestling promotion. Brett J. Rasmussen, do you honestly think that WWE will actually put the money in the briefcase back onto The Miz? I enjoy The Miz and Morrison, but not as absolute buffoons. And I wouldn't put it past WWE that they do put the briefcase back on The Miz.
Yeah, I think that's the story they're telling. The Miz is trying to find the contractual loophole that Morrison was actually the man that cashed it in. So Miz should still be the Money in the Bank brief holder. I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take over the chats?
Yeah, I'm just going to answer this one first here, which is like, what about the Friday show with Denise? It's on Christmas Day, so there will be no Friday show. But instead, there will be the Christmas special will be going out on Friday instead. So it's a terrible show. I wouldn't recommend watching it. On the subject of Charlotte Asuka, Ato Smith, has commentary once acknowledged that Asuka is a double champion? It feels like all the focus is on Charlotte, which is what everyone feared. No one can take away her in-ring ability and star presence, but the booking of her is what makes her unbearable.
Totally agree. They did acknowledge she's a double champ, but it was part in passing. All the focus was on Flair.
Luke Sermon says, I think Charlotte is the third best horsewoman behind Bayley and Banks. So I think she should be pushed as much. So I think she should be pushed as much as she is. What's your option on the horsewomen rankings? I think that's really tough because I think they are all just as good as each other. I really do think that. And if any, I think Charlotte might be the best of them, but like, I don't want to take any away from Banks, Bayley and Lynch because they're all so great.
Yeah. It's hard. I couldn't rank them. Honestly, it changes.
I couldn't do it. Pip Conserve always wanted to ask, do you think that Asuka is a better wrestler than Charlotte? Personally, I think she is. As a matter of fact, I go as far as saying she's one of the top 10 best wrestlers in the world and she's been underutilized in ways that shouldn't exist. I agree.
Yeah, I think it's not even a question. Asuka is one of the best wrestlers in the world. Much, much better than Charlotte in ring.
Bo Hill says, people complain that Charlotte has been the same character for 3 years, but the New Day has been doing the same gimmick for the past 8 years. I'm glad that her business won because Cedric is amazing and I want to see him eventually feud with Bobby for the US title. I'd also really like that as well, Bo Hill.
Mm. Charlotte, but she's been face and heel so many times. The New Day have been consistently baby faces and crucially, they're over in that role. Charlotte's not.
Matthew Robinson, I think that Charlotte should have returned and not won the tag titles, then lose to Asuka and have a loss in confidence to be the queen again. It could have been a better storyline than Charlotte just wins everything and is never pinned.
Mm. Yeah, but she ain't losing her first match back.
Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. I agree with Mr. Davis on the poor Raw rating, but correct me if I'm wrong. Do WWE actually have a few storylines going? Best part of Raw for me was the Bliss Playground, but why change the Fiend? Thanks for the morning news. As always, Mr. Davis. Winky face because it's not in the morning. #jam that jam.
Yeah, boy, you You're welcome. Thanks for watching. But what was the question there? Do WWE actually have storylines going right now?
Yeah.
They've got the Cedric thing. Yeah. They just
retribution. Yeah. Ricochet cut a promo on Raw Talk where I think he said that he's actually considering joining Retribution. So, you know, there's that going. Kean Cameron, just wanted to say, although I would say that they do a lot of stuff on Raw Talk that never seems to actually then go on to the main show. Bloody Reckoning said she was going after Asuka on Raw Talk. Kean Cameron, just wanted to say thanks for the watch-along stream and entertaining me through these hard times since the first lockdown. Quick question. Do you think that Ricochet can be saved? He's one of the best on the roster, and it's depressing to see him mistreated.
He can be saved. I just don't think it will happen. If it hasn't happened for him now in WWE, it's quite obvious that management don't see anything in him, which is just baffling.
And like Ian pointed out, you know, he's one of the best on the roster. It's depressing to see him lose to Slapjack of all people, which is, you know, it is bad. Nathan says, it says a lot about WWE today that our collective favorite gimmick is a man who every week cuts similar promos about how he likes to sit at one of the short sides of a dinner table.
Well, that's good. I don't think that's an indictment of WWE everywhere else. That would be a great gimmick and a great performance in any promotion.
Brandon Rosen, I sent in a super chat a while back suggesting Raw was as bad as 2000 era WCW, which you lovely gents refuted. I just feel they're doing the same mistakes WCW did, not booking babyface properly and relying on past superstars. Well, guys, how about now? Still no. WCW once had a 3-hour show where there was no wrestling in the first hour. Once Raw does that, then maybe we can talk. Blind Raw says, Raw is just noise at this moment. So much noise and not actually a lot of it makes sense. A feeling entirely encapsulated by this week's main event. Street fight, but with tag rules. What? It's no DQ. Barely any weapon spots. Like the finish, but that's it. Well, I think with the street fight, it's only the last 2 minutes that are actually worth watching.
They just put things there to promote it. Like fist fight, street fight, ladder matches. They just chuck stuff onto the adverts without thinking it through.
Speaking of, Matthew Robinson said, Raw Legends Night basically means we're scared of the rating.
I'm surprised Stone Cold wasn't on that list.
Oh, he will be eventually.
Yeah.
Scott Young, there are only two good things about Raw, Alexa and the Hurt Business. When that is the case, that is a damning indictment about the state of Raw at the moment, especially when it's a 3-hour show. Also, we'll be looking for any new writers in the near future. I don't know if the website is looking for new writers at the moment. I mean, Andy is in the chat, so you can certainly ask him.
I think we've got everyone filled up at the moment, so not in the near future, but always do send CVs and stuff to support@wrestletalk.com. Examples of your work. Honestly, if people often just say, any jobs going, I'm not going to reply. You need to have here's what I can do. Here's an example of work. Here's where I've written before.
Brandon Rosen, the announcement of the Legends Night doesn't address any of Raw's issues leading into low ratings. It just further proves that the show is for an audience of one, Vince McMahon. Ratings are down, bad booking, who cares? Vince likes it, and that's what counts.
I don't think Vince likes the Legends Nights. I don't think he likes anything that's happening now. I think he's confused and scared.
Insanity Central, if Umberto and Angel ever become a tag team, do you think they could be the new school version of Eddie and Chavo? That's if WWE knows how to push them. I mean, you could have done that with Andrade, but I don't think the problem is Vince doesn't like tag team wrestling, so I don't think you can ever get a proper push on a tag team. Jonathan Edmonds says, Merry Christmas, guys. Man, the chat is so dark. It's like the DCU, LOL. Too bad Matt Riddle dropped the mat. He could have been Matt version 2 in a team with Jeff Hardy.
Too bad, Matt. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. Never made that connection.
Matt.
What's the chat doing?
What's chat doing?
I don't know what you're talking about. Like a man being burnt alive. That's quite dark.
And Matthew Robinson again says, Keith Lee versus Sheamus. Can I get a yes, please? Certainly for that. I think that's going to be a great little match.
I thought you were going to do your lukewarm.
No. I'm retiring that for now.
Keith Katach. Hey, fellas, aside from Chief Roman, what is your biggest expectation for 2021? New superstar push, new intense storylines, or just pure boredom throughout the new year? It's real unfortunate the product has let down so many people, such as myself. Hashtag jam that Emma effing jam.
So, you know what we had this year? It'll be that, but again, because this year was basically what was last year, and what was last year was basically what was the year before. So, yeah, it's that's what we'll get.
But I'm optimistic about AEW. They're just getting better and better and better. But we do have a prediction show at the start of 2021. So we've got lots of outlandish things we talk about then. Mike Jensen, it's obvious that they have stacked SmackDown because it is on Christmas Day. Why do you think they can't just do this normally, not stack the show because of insert reason?
Well, you don't want to, you can't stack every show. Like that is because you just burn it out too quickly. But yeah, like they've, of course they stack the show, but they want to try and, you know, make people interested to watch on Christmas Day. So yeah, that's what they do every year.
James Hanley again. WWE's problems were summed up the best in your review video where you gave the reason why Vince sent his big men back to the Performance Center. He went back to what worked in the 80s over three decades ago.
Yeah, which is ironic as well, because, you know, the Attitude Era was a really profitable business time, but they sort of never look at, like, what made that successful? Oh, it was really cool characters, wasn't it, that people were invested in? No, let's go back to monsters that babyfaces can overcome.
Bacon Rasher, if Vince loves the old dudes, then he should do Raw Legend versus current Raw star and winner stays on the roster. Can you imagine Jam That Jam?
I'd hate that so much, because there's always that worry that the old dudes will win.
They'd go over in every match. That's what Goldberg does. He can come back after not wrestling for 15 years and beat anyone on the main roster. Mr. Burt Wayne, Gorilla Press, hand-delivered in Medusa to Thunder Rosa's Mission Pro Wrestling to surprise her and her gals and awarded the inaugural Mission Pro Wrestling champion La Rosa Negra. Cool.
Yeah, thank you. We had that message a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Allison Kay takes on Thunder Rosa February 6th in a steel cage at Mission Pro Wrestling. Wishes granted only to Title Match Network. There you go. There's Mr. Burt Wayne again. Just No Yes. Hello from Sweden. Hello, I will be celebrating Christmas alone to slow the spread. Well done. But thanks to you guys and your content, I will survive. Really, thank you.
Well, Just Know Yes, you can watch the Christmas special. It's released on Christmas Day. It's 3 hours, so, you know, that will take up a good chunk of the day. And it's not good, but it will certainly fill 3 hours.
We apologize in advance. Bacon Rasher, finally. Hi again, lads. So us good eggs in the comments, led by SP3 himself, has decided we want to see War Games Quizzlemania. Wrestling Daily versus Wrestle Talk. Can we maybe get that in 2021, please? Another day off for work for me with Beer 52. Jam That Flan, JTJ. Oh, wow. So the whole Wrestling Daily faction. McCarthy, SP3, Louis, Stephanie Chase versus me, you,
Pete
and Laurie.
Yeah. Or Tempest and Andy, if we want to get on, you know, some actually smart people to make up for us.
Damn, maybe. We've got Quick Quizzlemania will be back on the first week of January, so that won't be the match. We've got something else in store for Tempest, the defending champion.
Have you got your rankings available?
I've got it open. It's quite big now. Yeah.
Thank you. Andrew says, hi, gents. Hope you're both well. Here's my submission to the rankings. Let me take you back to December 2019. My band Loser Parade opened for Bayside, Drake Bell and Katie Tunstall all in the same month. There's a name of us, a bit of a blast from the past. Mm-hmm. We were planning our first tour for the next year. Then COVID happened. We had to cancel the tour and lose all the momentum we had. But that's okay. I'm a legal videographer, which means I film depositions and people will always sue each other. So I've got a good paying job with security. But then COVID made it so people have to work from home, making my job obsolete. Not to worry, though. With all my free extra time, my band announced we're going to release a new single to help raise money for Black Lives Matter. But then myself, my wife, and my entire family got COVID. Luckily, none of us died, but it has done damage to my voice. I can't sing like I used to, which made it so we've had to push the record. Well, at least my wife and I are alive. And I beat Darkwing Duck on the NES for the first time. So that's got to be worth something.
That is good. Man, that's a rough one, though.
It's a rough one, dude.
What's the voice thing really got to me at the end. What was their name? Sorry?
Andrew,
you're going to be a rare case where you're not in contention.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Andrew would expect to be in contention. He's had quite a rough time of it by the sound.
Yeah. Darkwing Duck, eh?
Although, yeah, it's a tough game. It's hard. Yeah. Craig is up next. He says, hello, Mr. Davis, you big dick. And hello, Luke.
Immediately last.
I would like to share my story of lockdown. I have a son who has got autism. One of the hallmarks, benchmarks of autism is that children cannot ride a two-wheel bicycle. So this March, just before the beginning of lockdown, my wife and I put him in a special bicycle riding course for a full week. After working with him tirelessly for 7 days, he learned how to ride the bike. Then I purchased a bicycle for him. And after not having a bicycle 20 years, I started to enjoy riding myself. I now cycle 25 kilometers a day to keep fit. I'm paraphrasing just to keep this short. This is their words, not mine. However, my full-time work is in creating custom commodes and wheelchairs for children and the elderly. I live in Canada and do this countrywide. Because of the population I work with, it's mandatory I get tested every 2 weeks. I get the huge swab up the nose. Mm. And I'm consistently in and out of hospitals and long-term care homes. Most of them are on COVID outbreak. I'm diabetic, so I do have underlying conditions and I'm vulnerable to the virus. I drive an average of 95 kilometers a year doing my job. WrestleTalk is with me on a daily basis. Thanks for all of your hard work. Jam that jam, Craig.
I don't know why there isn't, like, people don't talk about that more. The fact that you can learn how to ride a bike and then not ride it for most of your adult life, get back on it, and you remember how to pedal and stuff and keep your balance. It's like it's like riding a bike, isn't it? That's what it's like.
That's exactly what it's like, yeah.
I like that, Craig. I like that you taught your son how to ride a bike. I like that you're into riding the bike. I am also a bike rider myself. So I'm going to put you in at... I'm going to put you in mid-table, just underneath James, who, remember, won 2 55-inch TVs in a competition.
We've got a bit of an update from Katie, who a submission we've had previously. Where did Katie rank?
Well, I've got a Kate down here. She listened to 139 episodes of the WrestleTalk podcast. She's pretty low down, because while that is a great achievement, but people have achieved a hell of a lot more.
Well, we have got an update, and that actually will come up. I'll add a bit of detail to my lockdown story, but I suspect I will remain a mid-carder. Since my last mail to Rust Talk, my numbers have increased to 149 episodes and a total of 10,268 minutes. I also learned that I'm the rebel to Mr. Davis's Britt Baker, as he consistently called me Kate when my name is Katie.
Just moving. Is that all?
No. Aside from the rest of content, my lockdown highlight has been my husband and I adopting a second bunny this fall, Pippin. He's our female bun. He and our female bun, Miss Bunny Penny, have rapidly become best friends, and it's utterly precious to watch. We've been doing our own version of Wrestle League since 2015, when my husband and I make predictions, flip coins, random num generators for the bunnies. Pippin came in strong out the gate, becoming a two-time champ already. We have a Jam That Champion t-shirt as our trophy from wrestleshop.com, but Pippin doesn't get to wear it because it's too big for a 3-pound rabbit. As always, thank you for content. Sending you all warm holiday wishes and love from Seattle, Katie.
Well, she corrected me, which is a negative. But Miss Bunny Penny.
It's good, right?
Gave me some feels. Do you go above Aaron? Who
did Aaron buy merchandise?
He has listened to a lot of the podcast and he got really good at Candy Crush. Yes, you're moving above Aaron. There you go. You're still right at the bottom of the table, to be honest. But still, one up.
There you go. Josh, hey guys, I wouldn't say that I'm top of the league, but I don't think my lockdown has been bad, as I may have one of the lucky ones. I got my GCSEs for free as they were cancelled this year. I got good grades and didn't even take one actual exam. Anyway, I also got back into wrestling. This is the first time I've watched anything since Mania 34, and I've quite enjoyed it. I don't watch Raw or SmackDown. I listen to your podcast for those, but I do watch NXT and enjoy it. Inspired by Adam's praise, I went and rewatched all the takeovers. As for my favourite football team, Aston Villa, we stayed up on the last day of the league. I also got drunk with my parents for the first time in result, had my first hangover. This year's had so many highs and lows for so many people, but on behalf of all your fans, I want to say thank you for making entertaining and helping people take off the entertaining, for making entertaining content, I'm assuming that would be, and helping people take their mind off the real world. That's from Josh.
Josh, But your GCSE results, that means he's 16. Mm-hmm. And he got drunk. Wait a second. I got a rule breaker.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I did not think about that. I forgot when you take your GCSEs. It's been so long since I did mine.
Josh, not only are you bottom of the league for drinking irresponsibly, I'm also going to report you to the police.
He's not really, Josh. Don't worry. Corey, a member of the SWAF... Sorry, do you want to tell me where Josh is?
Oh, he's, no, he's bottom.
Oh, no, he's at the bottom. He's bottom. Right, yeah. From SWAF Dunder, Corey says, emailing you to see where I land in the League of Lockdown and just to let you know how I've been as well. Before lockdown, I had a hard time managing stress and was seeing a psych, now you'd expect the stress to be made worse in lockdown, right? Well, for me, it actually improved as I'm no longer seeing the psychiatrist as I always, I have my ways to handle stress should I experience it. I've recently become a standard in my workplace in regards to how much a person could do in my field, invoicing orders for a retail company that prioritizes pop vinyl statues and action figures. I'm also getting paid more than I was 2 months ago. I'm also lucky to say that I never caught COVID, and Victoria in Australia is showing the rest of the world how to handle having COVID 30 days plus with no cases.
Love the sound of that.
You'd love Dream. To see it. Absolutely. I moved house in June and it's a much nicer and modern house. Also managed to almost double my board game collection while in lockdown. And keep as a regular Patreon supporter to you guys. So in short, things for me have been great and improved mentally and financially while in lockdown. Hope this wasn't too long. Keep up the great work. From SWAF Dunder, Corey.
Corey, you're solidly mid-table there. You're going again. You're going above Finn, who also isn't seeing a therapist as much at all, and got a new job. I'm going to put you above because you've got the board games and Patreon in there as well.
Nice, yeah. But unfortunately, that's all we got time. That's all we got time for. This is the last episode that Ollie and I are doing together for this year. But don't worry, the Christmas special will be out on Friday in place of the magazine show, and we will have Raw, AEW, and AEW reviews next week as well. There will be no SmackDown review this week though, because it's Boxing Day. Who cares? Thanks all for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.